The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Lord, that you would make our hearts look to you, turn to you in faith. Lord, that faith would be rewarding to us. It would give us a firm foundation on which everything in our life would revolve and would stand. God, we thank you for the chance to come together today to worship you. Lord, to sing of your goodness, to sing of your love, but Lord, to also declare publicly our trust, our foundation. Our life is in you and is built on you. God, we pray that you would use this time now just to draw us closer to you. Father, that we would leave this place differently than we walked in because of what your word has to say to our hearts today. Father, we pray for the work of your Holy Spirit in this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. We're going to continue our series today talking about the ultimate playlist. And it got me thinking. I'm going to go out on a limb here. This may be a bad idea, but we're going to try it. A song that means something to you. Anybody? Nobody's? Jesus loves us? Okay. Jesus loves you. You. And yeah, personally, that's good. Okay. Something else?
Amazing Grace.
Just as I am. Ooh, that's a good one. Jesus loves all of us. The old rugged cross.
Victory in Jesus.
Victory in Jesus. Now, look, man, y'all have done so good. Nobody threw out Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks. Which I got to be honest, that song's got special meaning to me. When we lived in Texas, my dad was in seminary, we lived in Texas. And we would spend our summers in Florida. What we would do is mom and dad would send us to Florida to live with grandparents or cousins or aunts or uncles or whatever like that. And I was 7 years old, and I was, as a little boy, I would get homesick. I know, hard to believe. I would get homesick, and I would get so sad at night. And the one thing that would make me feel better was Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places on a little cassette. And that's what I would listen to as I went to bed every night. So, any other songs that have meaning to you? Y'all have done great. I'm just wondering if there's a deeper... Colin Baton Rouge? Okay, all right. Yeah, that's got some meaning. All right. Walked into that one. Wind Beneath My Wings? Okay. Yeah. 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 I didn't hear it, but it's got meaning to him. That's good. So the idea is that this, songs resonate with us. Songs bring up memories. They bring up things that we think about. They bring back memories or fondness of our hearts. And the idea, again, with this, as we look at this ultimate playlist, is to remind you of things that you already know. These aren't new truths. These aren't new things. But these should be characteristics. These should be marks of a Christian life. As a follower of Christ, these songs should resonate from your life. People should look at your life, they should watch your life and automatically be like, oh man, I get that. I see that in them. And so again, just to kind of recap where we were and to have some fun, thank you guys for having fun and indulging me a little bit, and glad to know I'm the only one who likes to listen to country music and has emotional attachments. Y'all done sold me out. All right, we're in Psalm chapter 125 today is where we're going to start out. It says this, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But to those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with evildoers. Peace be on Israel. That's another song that should be a song and a mark of our life. It should be a song of trust. As you read through this psalm speaks over and over again about how the nation of Israel should trust God. Now, again, when you put this in context, this is huge. They're walking up Jerusalem and they're seeing mountains all around them. Y'all ever just be surrounded by mountains any place? Louisiana's got a couple mountains here and there, but like, I don't know if you've ever, maybe they're just big anthills, but like, just surrounded, completely surrounded by mountains. It's intimidating, but it's also comforting. Because at that moment, like, I know that like, if there's a storm coming in, guess what I'm going to see first? That storm coming over that mountain, if it can get over that mountain. But it's comforting, and it's this feeling of like, oh man, I'm almost in my little bubble. I'm protected. And that's what they would be looking at as they were going up to Jerusalem. They would see all these mountains around them, and they would sing out, God, we trust that your hand of protection is never going to leave us. Can I tell you that trust should be an earmark? It should be a thing that followers of Christ have. You should just be a trusting person. Now, what's that look like? What's that mean? And he talks about how it's a solid foundation of our lives, but also that trust produces righteousness. As you read towards the end of that chapter, he talks about the righteous and what that will do. Do you know why those people were righteous? Was it because everything was going good in their life? No. Was it because they had plenty of things? They weren't lacking, they weren't in need? No. The reason they did right things, the reason that they were able to do right acts, like Morningsport Baptist Church kids do, is because their trust was solely on God. Solely in God and what God could do and what God was going to do. That was why they were able to trust, to not be overwhelmed, to not worry, and to build their entire lives on that solid foundation of trust. Look, I've said this and I'll say it again and again and again. We're great with giving Jesus our eternity. Hey, listen, there's nothing I can do. There's no way I can get to heaven. I know that. I can't climb there. I can't reach there. I can't run there. Heaven's beyond me. So I have no problem trusting God with eternity. But tomorrow I can get to. Tomorrow I can put a plan together. Tomorrow I can figure things out and I can make my own path and my own plan for tomorrow. But a Christian should have not just faith and trust in God for eternity, but faith and trust for God for tomorrow. God, I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like, but you do. And I trust that whatever happens, you're going to give me opportunities to show that faith and that trust with right things in my life. Psalm 126 is next. It says this, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams of the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap songs of joy, and those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Another thing about our song should be a song of joy. Now, this gets a little hard, because you guys are such joyful people. A song of Christians should be joy. Your life should be marked by joy. Now, easy, right? Not even close. That's why we need reminders like this in our lives to remind us of what God's done, what we know he's going to do. And there's some interesting things in there. It talks about the Negev, the streams in the Negev. Do you know that's not actually a river? When you read it, it seems like it's a river. What it actually is it's a dry riverbed that all of a sudden, when the winter storms would come and it would just downpour rain, that dry riverbed would all of a sudden flood real fast, real quick. And it would be something that would supply the region around it with enough water and nutrition to actually grow things. Other thing it says is this. They go out weeping, but they come back with joy. Can I tell you something, church? A song of joy does not mean life is perfect. It does not mean everything is good. It is a choice that you have to make to be joyful. Y'all know, and again, I get in trouble with it. Y'all know negative people? Don't look at your husband. That's not fair. Y'all, I mean, just everything could go wrong. Glass half empty kind of people. Every time. You got some rain today.
Yeah.
Stormed bad last week. Got hit in the head with a piece of hail. Oh, man, I'm sorry, that hurts. Sunny out today. It's going to be cold again. It's false. It's fake spring. And everything you say, man, they just look for the negative and they bring everything down. Man, that's not the life of a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ should be marked by joy. But what you have to do is you and I have to be the one to make the decision. I'm going to see the good in these situations. Mr. Ron's prayers. I love Mr. Ron's prayers. He thanks God for the sunshine and he thanks him for the rain. Because guess what? God's in both those things. And as a follower of Christ, a joyful life looks for the good in difficulties, looks for the good in hardships, looks for the good in good times and in bad. But they look for things that make them rely on God, and it brings about joy in their life. Listen, your life may not be roses all the time, but as a follower of Christ, your life should be marked by joy. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand and watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those who he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hand of a skillful warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. The next thing that our song should be is this. Our song should be a song of purpose and rest. That psalm has always been special to me. I love that psalm. And I think one of the reasons I love it is because who wrote it? Most of the psalms we know are written by David. But this one was written by Solomon, David's son. And I love Ecclesiastes. And here's why I love the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is the most honest book in the Bible. That's not true. You can't say that. They're all honest because they're all true. We can delete that. All right. But it's a very real book. Because Solomon tells you, hey, listen, there are times in life where everything seems pointless. Everything I do seems pointless. I can't find purpose. I can't find meaning in anything I'm doing with my life. And if you're honest today, you feel the same way. There are times where you feel like, man, nothing in my life has any purpose, has any meaning. I do the same thing, the same way, every single day. And then I wake up and do the same thing again tomorrow. And it seems like life is purposeless and meaningless. And Solomon has the exact same thing. But what Solomon finally comes to after all the things he does, he says, there's one thing that I found meaning in. Fearing God and keeping his commands. Loving God and keeping his commands. And he finds that a life lived for God has purpose and has meaning. And so he writes this psalm and he talks about how if you try everything you can to labor and to do all these different things, you're doing them in vain. But see, when you're a follower of Christ, you have purpose. Your life has a meaning because all of a sudden now the song that you sing, other people are watching and they're looking at and they're listening to your song that your life sings. And they're saying, oh, that's what it means to be a follower of Christ. Listen, everything you do is way more powerful than you realize because you've been given a purpose by God to glorify him with your life. So every handshake, every hug, every high five, every smile, every word that you say has more meaning and purpose than you may realize. And that's a gift that comes from God. The second thing he talks about is not just that you have purpose, but that you have rest. And he says that those whom God loves, he gives rest. I've got friends here from Alabama, Colton and Colby. And man, they're special. They're dear friends of ours. Colby was one of our sixth graders. She came into our youth group in sixth grade and stayed with us all the way through college and married Colton. I don't know why, but he's a decent guy. And I would say Man, I love them too dearly. Can I tell you when I really fell in love with Colton? We're in Phoenix, Arizona, 145,000 degrees outside. And we're doing mission work at this church. And all of a sudden, like, they say, hey, listen, these thorn bushes have grown up in front of our sign. And even if somebody were looking for our church, they couldn't see the sign because these thorn bushes have grown up so high. And Colton says, hey, I can take care of that. And he goes out, and I mean, I watched this kid as a 17-year-old in high school take a pair of little clippers, because they didn't have good clippers. They didn't have electric hedge trimmers. Little clippers, and clip back these thorn bushes. And he had cuts all over his arms, all over his neck, all over his face. And man, he came in that night, and I'll never forget, he looked exhausted. Just pouring sweat, cut up to be. I said, Colton, how do you think you're going to sleep tonight? He goes, man, I'm going to sleep so good knowing that that sign, people can see now. See, that purpose gave him beautiful rest. And listen, the same is true for you. If you think that your life is purposeless and you think that your life is meaningless, can I encourage you that you have meaning, you have purpose in your life, and you will experience the absolute most fantastic rest when you start to live for your purpose, when you start to live your life with meaning. See, as long as you just continue to think that you can be this lazy, lackadaisical Christian who just kind of floats through life willy-nilly like, and you don't live for your purpose, you get bored. And all of a sudden when you get bored, you get lazy. And all of a sudden when you get lazy, you rest when you're not supposed to be resting, when you're supposed to be working. And so the rest that you do get when you do get the chance to rest isn't as sweet. Where are my nappers at? Any nappers? Can't take naps. You know why? If I take a nap, I don't sleep at night. I stare at the ceiling for hours at night. Why? Because I'm resting when I should be doing something. Listen, some of us are living our lives without purpose, without meaning. And we're trying to rest. And God's telling you, hey, listen, you've got purpose, you've got meaning, you need to go do something. Psalm 127 says, your life has purpose. Not only is your song yours a song of purpose and rest, go down to 128. He says this, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. This is an interesting one. Our song should be about obedience and blessing. You're blessed people. Look at what you get to look at every Sunday. I mean, y'all are truly blessed people. Thank you. One. I got one. I'll take it. No, man, y'all are blessed individuals. But here's the thing. There's this caveat. Obedience brings blessing. And some of you may be sitting here saying, well, I don't feel very blessed. You're supposed to have a song of joy, but besides that, let's keep going. The next question I'm going to ask you is, how's your obedience? How, when God challenges you, when God calls you to do something, do you respond to it? When God calls you, when God challenges you to do something, do you say yes? Because if your obedience isn't good, then the blessings probably aren't coming the way they should. Now, notice this too, though. This is a song of obedience and blessing. We're not obedient, so we get blessed. We're blessed because we're obedient. Listen, if God is calling you to do something and you cannot seem to get past it, everything you seem to do in life, you just seem to hit brick wall after brick wall after brick wall, I challenge you and I encourage you. There's a step of faith that God wants you to take. There's something that he's calling you to do. There's something he's asking you to do. And if you will be obedient, you will watch all of a sudden, man, blessings just flow through your life. That's what that psalm says. Listen, it says that your life, the life of a person who is obedient to God, is filled with blessings upon blessings upon blessings. Everything he talks about here, he says, listen, your life will be blessed if you're obedient. If you really want to have a life and a song of obedience and blessing, you got to start saying yes when God calls you to do things. Lastly, Psalm 129 says this. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, let Israel say. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth, but they have not gained a victory over me. Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on a roof, which withers before it can grow. A reaper cannot fill his hands with it, nor the one who gathers fill his arms. May those who pass by not say to them, "The Lord, the blessing of the Lord be on you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." As a follower of Christ, as a follower of God, our songs should be a song of resilient victory. Hey, I know life's tough. I know it's difficult. I know you've got aches, you've got pains. But can I share something with you? As a follower of Christ, as a follower of God, the best is always yet to come. It does not matter how awful it gets. It does not matter how terrible your life is. Because you have an eternity with your Creator waiting for you. It does not matter. As a follower of God, your life has nowhere to go but up. Tomorrow, better than today. And today may be a really good day for you. But guess what? Tomorrow's better. You know why? One step closer. One step closer to meeting your eternal maker and getting to spend eternity worshiping and just hanging out with God. Yours is a song of resilient victory. If you go back and you read through this psalm, there's so many things. He talks about, from my youth they oppressed me. He talks about the plowmen and how they made their furrows long in his black back. What that means is that over and over and over again, people have tried to put him down. People have tried to destroy what God's doing in his life. People have tried over and over and over again to destroy this individual. But over and over and over again, he got up and he kept going. Because he knew the end was not defeat. The end was victory. I don't know what battles you're facing. I don't know what struggles you're going through. But can I tell you this? For if you are a follower of God today, your end, guaranteed victory. Guaranteed. You can't lose. You will win. Now, the hard part of that is the very first part of that. If you're a follower of God. Today, if you don't have a relationship with God through Christ, if none of this makes any sense to you and you're like, hey, I don't get that. How can I always win? My challenge, my encouragement to you is this. First, you have to be a follower of God. These songs, the joy that comes from all of a sudden knowing that you're in a relationship with God, that's a song that only comes if you know God. A song of victory, that only comes if you know God. A song of obedience and blessing, that only comes if you know God. Today, if these aren't your songs and you can't sing these songs and you don't know God, I would love during the invitation to talk to you, to share with you how you can have a relationship with God through his son Jesus. Today, if you know God, I'm going to ask you just point blank, what's your song say? If people got in the car with you and all of a sudden your life was the radio station that they were listening to, would it be a song of joy? Would it be a song of hope and victory? If not, it's not too late to change the channel. Because tomorrow is better than today. And you get to change your station if you choose to. Father God, we love you. We thank you for today. God, we thank you for the songs that you give us to sing in our life. God, songs of trust and joy. God, a song of purpose. God, a song of guaranteed victory. Lord, we're grateful, we're thankful for what that song is. God, we thank you for allowing us to sing it. Father, if there's one here today who doesn't know that song, God, they don't have a relationship with you, I pray that during this time, Father, they would come, they would ask how they can have a relationship with you through Jesus. And today would be a remarkable day for them, and it would change not just their life, God, it would change their eternity. Father, for those of us who maybe the song of our life doesn't match what it should, God, I pray that you would help us, remind us of what our song should sound like. That, God, we would sing it loud and the world would hear it and it would draw others to you. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.